Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Please welcome the wickedly talented...
Bam! Bam!
Recording.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam. My name's Levins.
I'm Angus.
And this episode of Hey Fam is brought to you by the forgotten theme parks of the long lost years of Sydney and New South Wales.
Gone but not forgotten.
I've been, like, pretty much every day I wake up and I either watch an abysmal YouTube, like, depicting...
This is great.
...history of, like, these old theme parks that I used to go when I was a kid, or just, like, find weird old, like, GeoCities or Angel Fire websites that were started in the 90s. Like, you know, just almost like blog entries of people that went to these theme parks.
That's right. So if you're not a Hey Fammer, if you only get 50% of the Hey Fam CU, we spiraled last episode just about like Australian theme parks. I think Fox Studios was like the gateway drug to that conversation.
Yeah. So
and
it's crazy that
then
like,
we just everyone spiraled.
Everyone knows. I mean, if you live in Australia, you know that Gold Coast in Queensland is kind of like the theme park destination in Australia now. And
that's right.
Sydney still has Luna Park, which is a
institution.
An institution. It's all just kind of like a carnival place, really.
I remember being shocked when I discovered there were more. Like that blew my mind.
Yeah, there's one in Melbourne, and there's one somewhere else, like maybe Adelaide as well. Maybe something in South Australia.
Is it an international thing? I want to know the story there.
Save it for another episode because I got so much weird Sydney. I mean, Sydney's history with theme parks is crazy because we've had like we're one of the only
so many
countries in the world that has had a Sega World. I think it's just us and the UK that got a Sega World. I think it ran for about 4 years, all based on Sega and like. There's going to be a lot of people yelling saying, "Why are you saying Sega?" In the 90s in Australia, we didn't know that you said it any other way.
We didn't know it was Japanese.
Yeah. It was like...
Sega.
I went to Sega. I wore my Nikes.
We'll never say Sega World. It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it was always Sega World to us.
Yeah. Luna Park, I thought so. It was from Coney Island originally.
Yeah, and it existed in Sydney. Because there actually is a part of Luna Park called Coney Island, which is like a...
Yeah, that's right.
A room full of weird slides and amusement park bullshit.
It's so weird. What a weird place.
But Luna Park in Sydney has existed since the 30s, but we really hit our theme park peak in like the late 90s. From like 1985, we had a place out in Western Sydney in Eastern Creek called Australia's Wonderland.
So good.
Wonderland Sydney.
I think it's a lot of people's first theme park.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Sydney.
It certainly was mine. I even have memories of going there in either 1989 or 1990. I remember it was before my younger sister was born. And
I still remember it was like the best day. I went and on the way back, it was 91. I got a Red Rooster meal on the way back. And it was a Rocketeer meal. Like that's how I can timestamp it. Wait, so when did the Rocketeer come out?
That's 91. Yeah. 91 or 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was 91, and me and my dad and my friend went, and on the way back, dinner was that. And it was the best. It was like remember those like weird styrofoam planes you could make and throw?
Yes.
And they would like, it was that, but it was him.
Yeah, oh, dude, I remember the toy. I remember the toy. It's so funny how, like, even... I feel like because of commercial television and, like, you know, if you were watching something, you just got inundated with commercials. Even if you weren't... Like, my family... We weren't a Red Rooster family, Angus, but I knew all about those toys. Sure.
Yeah.
Red Rooster is an Australian fast food chain that sells just roast chicken, like, not fried chicken. You can just get...
You know what? They've started fried chicken.
Wow. They did it.
There's ads everywhere near my house because I live right near one. and they're like, fried chicken's back on the menu, boys.
Yeah. Wow. They finally did
it. I'm going to try it. I'll try it for the pod.
Brown Rooster.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's the bigger... It's the most successful fast food chain in Australia. No, it's not.
It couldn't be.
No, that's It's Subway.
Subway's more accessible. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had Australia's Wonderland, which had like areas dedicated to... like Hanna-Barbera, and then later there were Marvel characters in it. And it was,
really?
It was
like I didn't know that.
And it was a sister theme park to Canada's Wonderland. And then,
really?
Yeah, there's a bunch of weird media tie-ins. I mean, that's what I'm more interested in talking about. Like, obviously,
because
going,
I know
run through all the rides,
Six Flags shares the same characters, right? They have Hanna-Barbera shit.
Yeah, it was all this... It was Kings was the name of the... of the company, yeah. Unfortunately, Chiefs didn't own Luna Park. It was Kings.
Cool update for the fam. I was at a food market the other day, and the guy serving me, they had their like names on their shirts, and his name was Chief, and I took a photo for Levins, and it wasn't like he was like a chief of a, you know, indigenous group of people. He was ex-Navy and must have been Chief, and he still goes by Chief, and now he's a cheesemaker. And his shirt had embroidered on it, Chief. And I was like, damn, that's fucking respect.
He gave up serving our country so he could serve Angus Cheese.
So he could serve provolone and feta to me. Tour of duty.
I should say one of the only redeeming moments of that Muppets Now show is that Scooter refers to Kermit as Chief.
That's some good shit.
But so there was Australia's Wonderland, which closed. I mean, almost all of the theme parks I'm going to be talking about closed in the early 2000s, and almost all the theme parks blamed 9/11 on one of the reasons why they closed. So you had Australia's Wonderland.
I'm still using it. I'm still blaming it for many things in my life.
Australia's Wonderland. You have Fox Studios Backlot, the only time 20th Century Fox tried to open their own theme park.
Isn't that interesting? Do you think they used Australia as like a testing bed?
I mean, there's a lot of weird coincidences that lead to that happening. Same as like Wonderland. Wonderland, the only like so these Kings guys were starting to work with Hanna-Barbera at their parks in America and Canada, and then when they go to Australia, they learn that like half an hour away from where Wonderland is, Hanna-Barbera have opened up have an animation studio. It just made perfect sense for those characters to have their own land at Wonderland. So similarly with 20th Century Fox, I think it was like they acquired...
Fox Studios.
So it was like where they used to have the Easter show and...
Sydney Showgrounds.
Sydney Showgrounds.
Like a known...
And like there's big conspiracies that like Fox Studios, which is like of all the theme parks we're talking about, definitely the biggest failure. So that there was like a clause where whoever bought the land that in Sydney Showgrounds, they had to use a majority of it as public space. And then and the clause was like for 2 years or something like that. And so the theory
that's
is
how long Fox Studios lasted for.
Yeah, and the theory is that Fox Studios was like built to fail, so that Fox Studios could then use it all as just backlot and soundstage.
We've got to find someone who worked on the Titanic ride or something and get them on. We need to bust this ghost.
So there's a 20th Century Fox Studios backlot, which had a Simpsons ride. Like before there was a Simpsons ride at Universal Studios, which was entirely based on the Bart versus Australia ride episode,
which is insulting like to us.
Oh, have you
watched?
You can
clientele.
You can watch what's there. I'll run you through it. It's pretty.
I watched it when you mentioned it last week.
And then there was like a Titanic experience, which it was actually like, and I'll go through it. Like I went to all these theme parks, But like that was like a pretty incredible ride, like experience. Not so much a ride, but a multi-million-dollar experience that won awards and was pretty like inventive for a you know, pretty lame theme park. So that closed.
Calling it a theme park is very generous too, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's also the most expensive to get into of all of the parks we're talking about today.
It was like $110 or some shit.
Yeah, and then rounding out,
which now would be like $150 or something.
Yeah, absolutely. But rounding out the trio of failed New South Wales theme parks is SeaWorld, which
take a name.
1997 till 2000, just after the Olympics, and we're going to be going through them all in great detail.
That's not too long.
I might even play some.
So I only went to one. I only went to one of these.
Yeah,
I didn't even go to SeaWorld. You know, like I don't know what it is. Maybe because I didn't grow up in Sydney. Like to do these things, it was like an extra step.
SeaWorld like hurts the most because looking back at it, it did so much.
The building rocked.
It did so much right. It's
a beautiful building.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But and we'll get into it, like all the things they got right and then the glaringly massive thing they got wrong.
Which was what? No rides or video games?
You're gonna have to keep listening.
Damn.
Because I thought maybe we should give some normie content or some regular Hey Fam content before we get deep in the theme park mythology. You finished Succession season 2, Angus. God tier TV show. Or
no,
what?
No, we're going to talk about parks that don't exist anymore. We're going to talk about shows that finished a year and a half ago. This is why you come.
Hey man, it's Emmy season.
Welcome to our dojo.
It's Emmy season.
Yeah, welcome to our fucking dojo.
They're going heavy on the promo for this show on Binge, but you chose to watch it 3 minutes slower than I do.
Yeah, man. And I got heaps of time on my hands at the moment. Plus, I can understand every character. And Binge doesn't have subtitles, so you can't go back and go, what did they say?
Yeah,
you just have to kind of guess.
What did that man who had a stroke?
It blows me out that they're literally just like, oh, hearing impaired? Yeah, this one's not for you. Like, yeah, just
get another streaming service.
It's so wild. It's like that should not be legal. Like cinemas have subtitles now. You know what I mean? Like,
did I tell you about?
You can request.
So like, you can't. There's no kids section of Binge, but I wanted to see what kids shows, if any, there were on the service. And so I was just typing like children and like blah blah, and then I typed Barbie. And
then cops pull out the front of your house.
Yeah,
like ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
This guy's trying to binge children.
This guy's Jeffrey Epstein Mark II. He's literally searching children on a streaming service.
And so my daughter sees Barbie, and she's like, "Let's watch Barbie." And so she watches a Barbie episode, and they're quite short.
Do you ever just go no? Do you ever just go like no? That's shit. Do you ever like or you just-
like if I need to get work done, like whatever, it's fine.
How do you say it? Do you just go like no? That's
but yeah, yeah. We're not watching that. Especially with Archie, because he's 6. Like I can be way harsher with him and just tell him that the thing he likes is awful.
Give me an example. I want to hear that. That makes me laugh so much. Telling a kid that something they want to do is bad. It's just such a good burn. Because it's always correct as well. It's almost like, dude, trust me, you're going to thank me for this later.
He this morning, he was like, hey, Billy, my brother-in-law, he has this app where you're like this guy who's kind of running and you have to draw his legs and you're racing against someone else who is drawing legs as well. And then you have to draw legs and then like occasionally you'll have to like fit through little gaps. So you have to rub out the legs and then draw smaller legs or then draw bigger legs. And
he was like, "Dad, it actually sounds sick."
Yeah, but he keeps trying to push it on me. Like I've already got it. He's got it on his iPad. He's allowed to play like 5 minutes of it every now and then. But he's like, "Hey, Dad, you should really get this game because, Dad, I just unlocked stairs." And I'm like, "Archie, I'm not getting this game, dude."
That's so good.
Yeah,
that's like, Archie's you. The app is a 900 issue shonen thing about like ninja kids, and I'm you, and I'm you. That's see how it works. It's a fucking chain. I love it. That's so good.
So Tilly's-
and then the audience this week is you, and we're Archie, and the app is theme parks. It's like a beautiful.
It's the arc.
It's a fuck, I'm stupid. It's an algorithm that can be applied to so many things.
It's a meme.
It's the roasting children algorithm. It's a meme algorithm. Template. Yeah, it's great.
So Tilly's watching this Barbie show that like is only 5 minutes an episode long, and then so in between every 5 minute episode, Binge decides to market exclusively a new HBO documentary series about Nixon.
Nice.
It's like, hey, you've watched three episodes of Barbie. How about another ad for this same
demo?
Very dry documentary about a dead American politician.
That rules.
These things go hand in hand.
Man, if you worked at Fox Studios or if you currently work at Binge, get in touch. Heyfampodcast@gmail.com. We want to just pick your brain.
We want to know how many degrees of separation there are between the Fox Backlot Studios and Binge.
Well, there's a common thread, isn't it? Binge, I guess
there's
the
none.
Fox Studios
there's no degrees because Rupert Murdoch
owns both. But yeah, I think Binge is currently Fox Studios. Maybe this is still the conspiracy theory. Maybe the streaming service was built to fail, like
Whoa,
the theme park.
Wow.
Fuck, I had one. Shit, what was I going to say?
You had one more tight. Burn. One more burn in the chamber.
One more round. One more magazine of armor-piercing rifle bullet or something. I don't know. Anyway, that app sounds sick. I might check it out. I love that Archie's pushing apps on you. That's great. So in his mind, he probably thinks it's like an adult thing to talk about, and he's like just trying to be an adult.
Oh, I think he knows that what he likes is so niche, and he can't really talk about it with his friends at school. So I'm the only person in his life that he can talk about all the stupid nerdy shit that I've accidentally got him
running
really
apps.
Into. Yeah, yeah.
Man, God bless that kid.
Like once I was at a...
He was texting me the other day.
Oh, yeah. He started texting you. Because you donated to his charity campaign.
Oh, yeah. Give him... Put the charity in the link.
Okay, yeah.
Or whatever.
Archie's doing the MS readathon. We actually have a family member suffering from MS, multiple sclerosis.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
That sucks.
And it sucks. I mean, it's actually... It's pretty common. I have two older friends that are suffering from it too. Like, you know, you lose control of
Yeah, I know
your
someone younger
skills.
Than me that's got it.
It's brutal. There's no cure. You just kind of live with it. But I remember doing this when I was a kid, and this is an episode all about...
I was about to say, this ties in well to theme parks.
Yeah.
Like, I remember doing this, like, the same year I went to Wonderland and stuff.
I assume it's, like, an international thing, but yeah, you basically, like, you don't jump rope for heart, or you don't do a fun run.
Jump rope for heart.
This one is just, You read, and so Archie is... I said I would donate $1 to his charity campaign for every book he read, and so far he's read about 25. He's got to the rest of the month.
I reckon if I've donated, is that how much for each book?
No, you can just select the...
I was like, fuck.
I'm going to settle the difference at the end of it.
Actually, I think that's an episode plot. I think that's a plot in The Office. I think he doesn't read the donation thing right and has to donate like thousands of dollars to this like kids thing, which, and then everyone's like, that's so nice of you. And he's like, yeah. And like has to go through. But I think he like is literally like broke or bankrupt
that's
because
great.
Of it. Yeah. That was about to be me. Nice.
Yeah. But yeah,
yo, I think
I'll
getting a car
link.
In like 2 weeks.
Hell yeah, dude.
I think it's happening like actually hell fast.
That's with Archie.
So we can finally
Archie's,
go racing.
You're embezzling. You and Archie are in cahoots and you're embezzling his charity money to buy yourself a
There's
car.
There's no charity. I built that website.
There's no
I'm
such
getting
thing
all
as
your
MS.
Fucking credit. I'm getting that credit card detail. I'm buying a car. No, I'm getting a car in like 2 weeks, I think. It's
Whoa,
like
that's
in,
awesome.
In the bag.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I'll be able to. Too bad that. We're back to Zoom because maybe we can drive. I can park out the front and then we can record over Zoom still.
No. How about this? Yeah. You record. You come and park your car next to mine. We'll go to an actual car park and then
we'll go to Red Rooster car park.
Yeah. Perfect. And I'll pass a mic from my recorder into your car. Yeah. That actually rules.
I love that. Yeah. That'd be sick. That's how we do live shows now. It's like, you know how bands are doing drive-in shows and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We drive, except we do it differently. No one comes to see us live because no one knows who we are. We drive to a venue and record an app to no one.
So I'm like,
do you know what'd be sick? I want to go fucking, this is sick, Wu-Tang style and Martin Shkreli. Let's record an episode but never hit record and just like skip it and like we'll do an episode and just talk about it. but like no one hears it. Or that can be a top Patreon tier. It's we do one episode.
And how,
just for some one person or a group of people that pitch
we'll,
together.
And we'll press it to vinyl.
Seriously, not even that. No, it just doesn't exist. Like it's done once and that's it. Like we do it in front of one person.
In front of one
they
person?
Pay for the privilege.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Or 10 people if they want to pitch in. We make it like $10,000. And then it's never recorded. We have to like pat them down. There's no security. We just do an ep. I think that's like a sick idea.
And if I also still like, despite our hard efforts, I want that to be bootlegged. And for it to be like this.
Yeah, I want it to be me. And then you're like, fucking someone recorded it. And then you find out years later. The torrent's like a code, the name, it's like it's been hosted by someone. You're like, who is that? And it's called like Movie Lover 69. And you're like, I think I know who it is. I worked on Star Wars too. Damn, that's my Fox story.
I can't touch citrus. Who is this guy?
Yeah. Orange burns me. Orange hater 6420.
Breakfast disliker.
Orange hater Vivo. Like, I love oranges. I won't talk ill of them.
Just the insides, sometimes, not the outsides.
Yeah, I'm like that bitch from Frozen. You know, I got to wear gloves. And
that's why.
So is that Frozen? No, that's Rogue.
Elsa.
I'm like Rogue.
Elsa hates orange juice. Everyone knows that.
No, I love it. It's just I can't hold it. That's a Rogue move, or is Elsa Rogue basically?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Rogue likes touching people.
Yeah, and then she accidentally kills them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anna Paquin.
The goat. Bring her back Hollywood. So last night, even though I'm very far behind Succession because it's like the show that B and I are watching together, so we get to watch like two episodes a week, which is not ideal because that show is extremely
No, you know what? It's good. You got shit left. Like, that's cool. I wish I had that.
But it's like all I think about in between like episodes. It's such a good show. Like, I'm maybe up to episode 8 in the first season. And
what was the last thing that happened?
It's like the therapy episode.
Oh, yeah. It's great. At Connor's ranch in New Mexico.
And B's so devastated because, like, she keeps rooting for certain characters and then they keep fucking up and fucking up again. And, like, you're like, that's you haven't learned anything from these
this
shows,
This is the
B.
show.
You don't root for
this
any
is
of
the
them.
The show. Yeah. Who is she brutally bummed by?
Kendall. I think Kendall is, like, the show that...
I think he's, like, the guy you go for.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah, we've seen how his father treats him. So, immediately, we're on his side or something.
Yeah. Like, and maybe Shiv is, like, the most relatably least evil, but still evil. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. There's something that happens season 2, episode 8, a Kendall moment, which is just, like, the best thing ever.
Well, I noticed you and the other guys in the PayFam Discord talking about how much you love a character that at the moment I hate. And I just can't... Which is Tom. I can't imagine Tom being anyone's favorite character. So, I'm very excited to see what happens.
He's just psychotic. Like, I think I just love how fucked he is. Like, he's a sycophant and, like, sucks anyone senior to him's dick, but as soon as someone is like below him, he just like becomes a psychopathic bully. Like, it's just so funny to watch.
Alan Ruck, the elder who plays the eldest son,
so good. Is, Connor, he's fucked.
Maybe the most psychopathic of all of them.
Yeah, he's insane. Yeah. Like he does nothing either.
Yeah, it's such a good show.
He just like is into Napoleon a lot. I think that he talks about in the episode you just watched, but it just becomes like one of his traits soon. Like he just bids on like Napoleon things. Like that's his life.
And his horrible relationship with his girlfriend. Oh, like
she's the most normal person in the show.
Yes, definitely. But
fuck, it's so good, dog.
What such a good show. Thank you for pushing it on me.
No, it's like it's just one of those ones where you're like, oh, okay, I thought I knew what this was about, but it's actually nothing like that.
Yeah. And Kieran Culkin, his character, Roman, is maybe the best character at this point in the series, is maybe the best character. Just like this fucking pathetic weasel who tries to act better than everyone. Like, I mean, you could describe every character as that, but no one nails it more perfectly than him.
He's fucked.
And like, and Marcia, like, what's her game? I'm so confused.
What's she doing?
Yeah.
What's going on? Oh, bro. It's so good. It's just cahoots and cahoots and cahoots. And ties into what we're talking about. They have theme parks, you know?
Yeah, of course. That's right. It's all tied in.
It's where Greg started, baby. Vomiting through the eyes.
So I'm not... I'm behind you in... I'm behind you in Succession, but last night I stayed up till 1 a.m. by myself watching anime.
Maybe that'll be me tonight, I think, after this.
Yeah, dude. You
know, I want to watch it.
I watched, like, I think at the moment, my three favorite movies that I've seen in 2020, they're all 2019 movies, but they kind of didn't really see a proper release in Australia. Well, most of them didn't.
Sonic, The Gentleman.
And Bloodshot.
And Bloodshot. Take a knee, 2020. You've been excellent.
But I saw Anime Lab has, just for 1 week, they occasionally get like very recent releases and they just air them on their streaming service for 1 week. And this
so
week,
tight.
They said that they had Ride Your Wave, which is a movie that I never even heard of. But
I'd heard of it. I think it was at a film festival recently in Australia.
And that's when Connor from PayFam saw it from the Discord and they were like,
gotcha.
You got to watch this one. Everyone watch this. Side note, Connor joins me on a very special episode of Serious Issues this week. It just went up today.
Very special.
If you want to hear the two of us talk about comics. And then next week, we're doing an all manga episode. So,
and then a theme parks episode.
That's right. Very true. And then an episode all about an app where you draw legs and run.
Draw legs. I'm into that. I can't actually get my mind off it.
I'll find out what it's called. Archie can text you.
Yeah. Get him to text me again.
You were like just telling him to watch movies and he was like, okay, maybe I will. And he was just telling you movies that he might watch. But
I think he was going to watch Captain Underpants.
Yeah. Which we started to watch a year ago and it was too scary for him.
A movie called Captain Underpants is too scary for your coward son.
So
messed up.
I watched Ride Your Wave last night and it's a Japanese animated movie. Came out in June last year.
Dude, we call them Chinese cartoons around here. I think what an anime is, okay? I think we know what they're called.
And I don't want to tell you much about the plot. Don't look it up if you haven't already. I had a very like the kind of bulk of the publicity push of this movie is based around something that happens more than half an hour into the movie, and I think not knowing that is a better way to go into this movie.
Okay. Did you? So wait. You knew it?
Trailer. It's all of it. That's all the trailer is about.
I haven't watched the trailer. Yeah. Tight.
Look, if you have access to watching this movie, or you can just watch this goddamn movie. Let's just say it's kind of about a surfer. It's about love and loss, and it is one of those like heightened emotional relationship movies, a la Your Name and Weathering with You, that has like a magical element, just like those movies do. But I think it's a way more grounded, while still being like very crazy and magical. But I think it really like nails the ending, which I don't think either of those movies really do. Like, there's so much promise in both of those movies.
Oh man, I have to disagree with you and Your Name. I think Your Name has like the perfect ending.
I don't know. Yeah, I think this one for me just did a lot more for me. And maybe it's not even necessary that I compare the movies, but for me they feel evocative of the same kind of feelings.
Cool.
It's awesome. The music in it is great. It is one of the best animated movies I've ever seen. With so many like really interesting choices of like angles that you watch scenes from, and the animation's like really fluid and can be really weird in parts. There's like, you're just like viewing scenes from certain angles that you don't normally do in animated features. It's great. Really, really
tight.
Imaginative. It's not 2 hours long, which I feel like way too many anime movies are. It's 96 minutes. Very nice.
Is that Borat weighing in?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's a very Archie. That was very Archie of you commending a film for like not existing longer than it could.
Film. I feel like so many movies don't need to be two hours long, but they are.
Maybe some movies don't need to be movies, you know.
What would you rather they be?
Just some new thing, kind of
like
that
amusement
that live
park
episode
rides
that we'll never record.
Oh right, okay, sure.
Just like a new brief. I want to be in the animation studio while they're pitching
$10,000 things that only one person can enjoy.
Yeah, hey, if you guys are interested in that, just email HeyFamPodcast. Maybe you're the guy from Fox, and you also worked you're working at Binge now, and you actually want to also hear that live show for one person. You could be that one person.
But yeah, so Ride Your Wave, an unbelievably good movie. The best movie, the most amount of shuckers I've ever seen in a movie, which is always a good thing. The animation studio that made it is called Science Saru, and they are responsible for so many things that I've been intending to watch for so long. They made Japan Sinks, which is on Netflix now that you really like. They made Devilman Crybaby.
That's great too.
Netflix anime series.
I watched a scene. I remember I was on a plane flying international, watching it on my iPad. And there's like a full group orgy scene. And like, I think I spoke about it on the pod, and I'm just like trying to cover my screen while watching it. And it was just like, and the last time I was flying and watching something on my iPad, it was like the murder scene of OJ Simpson's dead wife, just like full graphic. And I'm just like, hot damn. Like, I really, you guys really keep springing me with this hardcore shit on my iPad when there's like people sitting next to me.
Yeah, well, all of that was just training for when you started reading Tumix on a plane with your hoodie on.
Oh man, I've caught up. Yeah. No, you're right. That was, fuck, I forgot I read Tumix on a plane. Wi-Fi. First time I've had Wi-Fi on a plane, and I'm going to read Mike. I'm up to date. I read 12 issues in air quotes in about 10 minutes the other day, and it was just so fucking good. It's so raunchy and stupid.
I feel like they just keep leveling up how much cum Mike can shoot.
At this point, it's like the sack that like elephants are born in or whatever. It's like that if you liquefied that, if you put that in a blender, that like embryonic sack thing, that's how much bust he's hitting. It's crazy. And now the artist has started incorporating streaks of yellow into his like busts.
Yeah, so it looks like he's peeing.
Yeah, it's a new development. I was really excited about it. This is like the yellow phase of his career. His yellow period. It's really, no one's addressed it either. So I was like, maybe it's like very like pro getting your shit checked out if you bang a lot, because maybe Mike's got an STD and that's gonna be the hints that we're being shown right now, because he's like, come ain't white.
I hope this doesn't lose us too many patrons, but I have to admit that I've let my my Tumix subscription lapse.
What? How?
I didn't renew it.
Sorry.
I did 3 months and I just didn't renew it.
Damn.
But man, budget's tight, bro.
Yeah, shit. But still, get rid of fucking, what's some dumb shit you've got that you can get rid of? That's Tumix money.
Yeah, okay, Tumix money. I'll start doing.
I'll
some
share
options.
Mine with you. I just got to figure out another login.
Yeah, it should definitely be a joint account. Real fam shares.
It'd be good if it's one person per time, and would have to text each other like, "Hey, can you get off Tumix?
Can you lock up? I'm about to get on a flight.
I want
to
see Mike." Remember Mike? Remember Mike's cousin was like in it. She was one of the six women living with him at one point who he fucked. And then she left just to become like a hostess.
Yep.
So she's moved into the apartment now with Mike, Mike's stepdad, the aunt, and the daughter of the dad and Mike's fucking every woman in their house. It's amazing. It's just, it's the same as it was now. Like, they've just taken it back. Where they're like, yeah, now it's about Mike, except now he has Luc Besson paintings, the posters, and a room with a view.
He's got the Arthur trilogy posters on his wall now. Yeah. For those who haven't heard us talk about it before, we're talking about a Korean hentai series, a manhwa called My Aunt, which is on a website called Tumix.com, which having said it through your headphones, now you are exclusively only going to see Tumix advertising on Facebook and other websites. So enjoy it. You're welcome.
We've got to figure out how we get to... they're still the only company I ever want to work with.
Definitely.
If you, whatever dumb ad was on this or during this, just imagine it was some bitch talking about this Tumix thing.
So this Science Saru, on top of Devilman Crybaby and Japan Sinks, they also made Ping Pong.
It's a great name, Science Saru.
Yeah,
it's
so
a sick
good.
Name.
Ping Pong, the animation, which is a... Tight. I'm reading that manga at the moment. It's like a really, really kind of like quirky sports manga about a kid playing ping pong. It's fucking great.
Hey, would never have guessed.
And that
with a title like that.
But like the anime is really, really great at like maintaining the kind of quirky art style and translating it to animation. And then they also did a series that aired this year called Keep Your Hands Off Eizouken, which is about three girls trying to make anime. It's on Crunchyroll. And I watched the first episode of that, and that's great. So very good studio. Now I want to watch everything that these guys have done. But
very nice.
If I've just talked a bunch of nonsense to you, but you still want to dip your toe in, definitely watch Ride Your Wave. It's fucking great.
If you're feeling a little horny, read Tumix. And you'll be riding a very different wave. This one's exclusively white and...
No, it's not a surfboard. Flex of yellow.
It's a monster dong.
I love that you
started going to university.
I love that you had to search for the description of and before you settled on horny. Like there was like a beat where you're like, what's the right word for this situation?
Horny. Borat's Mike started going to university with the girl.
Yeah.
She's showing, and it's great. I'm hoping we see a nice education plot point here.
How good it was
a Forrest Gump thing where Mike fucks his way into college, like how the mum fucked the principal in Forrest Gump.
Or maybe he becomes a professor somehow.
I would love that, like sex ed or something.
And comes over the entire class.
Yeah, he becomes, he's teaching about how to get bugs out of women's, fangs.
Thang-a-lang. So one last thing on the agenda before we go full theme park. I finally read your Christmas present. So Angus has given me one of the best Christmas presents in the last year, followed by easily the worst birthday present.
Oh,
it's just here. It's just arrived. You bought me a signed print of Lin-Manuel Miranda biting his fucking lip wearing a dumb hat. How big is it?
Yeah, it's like the size of Junji. No, it's kind of big. It might be the size of like an iPad, I guess.
That's
how we measure things now. I don't have any spatial. Man, one of my fucking parents tried talking in like feet the other day. I was like, you don't even use feet. What are you doing? It was so, maybe you were there. I don't know. I think that's the last time I saw them. Someone started talking to me in feet and I'm just like, get the hell away from me.
did the Lin-Manuel print, is it actually, can you tell that he signed it himself or is he printed his
signature? Oh, it's absolutely not. It's like printed on. It's like, it's ridiculously overpriced. It's hilarious.
Thanks for getting it for me, man. I love how much you care.
Oh, it's great.
Where should I put it?
I think it should go on the podcast studio. It should go. It should be right next to your Marc Maron print. Just people that, and right next to the Joe Rogan one.
Joe Rogan, Marc Maron.
Just masters of the mic. Yeah. You know, masters of the mic. Men that we look up to. Men with microphones. It's kind of like... I'm glad they're being represented finally.
Have you seen this like great final, like this could be TikTok's last hurrah before Trump outlaws it. All these teenagers are just roasting Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, I read that great Rolling Stone piece this week, which is like why Gen Z like is roasting Lin-Manuel Miranda. And it's just like, yeah, like, you know, Gen Z are like little like roast machines and you know people have like rose tinted glasses still at like Hamilton, but like it's pretty fucking dumb. It was like such a like phony yay pat yourself on the back, you know what I mean? Like yeah. It was a real time and a place, and they would have been like six at the time.
Have you seen the Vine?
I watched them all.
The kid going like when I was a little
when I was a 1986
synced it to Lin-Manuel Miranda and saying it looks on stage. Like legit. It's fucking great. One of
the kid nails the voice so well.
Yeah, it's amazing.
When I was... How does the voice... Is it like squeaky? How did he talk again? It was like...
It's like just very enunciated, like pathetic sounding. Yeah. He has like
and they found like a lot of old like videos of him like saying words like pussy and clit and stuff. Yeah. And it's a clit. It's
disgusting.
Very, very... That was very Kevin Smith of you,
very
wasn't it?
Very on brand.
When I was... I got to find that one. I want to hear the voice. I want to hear what the kid's saying. Here it is. He's saying, back when I was just a little baby boy in Queens.
In Queens, that's right.
He's like, something founding father in 1783. It's so weird for a guy that like can't sing or rap. He's famous for doing both. It's insane.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I remember even watching Moana, which I love all the songs on that soundtrack, but he shows up and sings and it's very weird. It's like him.
Does he in all the songs?
No, just on one song. It's like, we sail the seas on the skies and da, 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 da. And it's just like,
it's weird, isn't it?
It's like, why
he surrounded himself with people who allow him to do that. Like, he's fired people that are like, maybe not you on this song, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I think he's a good writer. I don't think he's a good performer.
Oh, yeah. No, he's obviously a fine writer, but he just, you know, it's sometimes you've got to Burt Bacharach at it, just like not sing it.
You know what we should do? We should watch the Mary Poppins movie where he plays Burt.
We should watch that and his Dark Materials where he's in that HBO series.
Yes, fuck. And have you seen the Curb episode with him in it?
He's in Sopranos.
In Sopranos. He's in an episode of Curb too. He plays himself.
As himself?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So he's in one of the final episodes of The Sopranos as like a nobody extra, like a bellboy. But he still has the fucking goatee. Like, it's amazing. If you Google Lin-Manuel Sopranos, it almost looks like a deep fake. Like, they've just stuck him in now.
Living in New Jersey with Tony Soprano's gang. Eating gabagoolin. Whacking guys was just my thing.
This is good. This is my new thing. Lin-Manuel rapping about the Sopranos.
This thing of ours is special.
His name is just like,
my dick you type is it out in, the first Lenny thing that comes Kravitz. Up is this.
Dicks. Oh man, I'd love a dicks out. Yeah, as soon as you type in his name, like, you know, Google autocomplete stuff, and it's just like the goatee images that just start flooding you. It's so good.
Oh man, it's, yeah, there's so many collages now of all of the lip biting photos, and I love that I have an official print of one now.
Yeah, I love that I have a paper trail where I've bought it. Theme parks.
Almost. Junji Ito, no longer human.
Oh, yeah.
So you got me like the last book by the manga.
Oh, shit.
Manga.
Is there a sticker on the back? A price?
No.
Just good. Yeah. I made that. I always take that shit off.
I mean,
because it costs $5,000.
Yeah, of course. I mean, most books have the price on them anyway.
Yeah, they're American and you don't know how to convert.
That's true. I'm too dumb.
I keep you in the dark. I've banned you from conversion tools.
I call Lin-Manuel Miranda and ask what it's worth.
Well, back in 1993.
So, yeah, Junji Ito he adapted the second most popular Japanese novel of all time, No Longer Human, which was written by a dude called Osamu Dazai. And it is, he's a writer who commits suicide in his 20s. And this book is said to be like kind of like his suicide note. And it's like this, like,
oh, wow,
extremely grim, nihilistic kind of book about a guy who doesn't feel like a human. So he separates himself from his emotions and does all kinds of awful shit to mostly women. Tries to commit suicide multiple times throughout the book. It's a harrowing read.
Fuck.
But there are moments that...
Happy birthday, Doug.
Yeah, yeah. Christmas, please. It's an incredible read, though. And Junji Ito's art is a perfect fit for some of the like, kind of more horror-leaning moments of the book. So I knew nothing about the novel, and it turns out neither did you when you got it. You were just like, my dude likes weird manga. Here we go. You know who is a big fan of the original novel by Osamu Dazai, No Longer Human?
Hideo Kojima?
PewDiePie.
PewDiePie?
Yeah, when you look up No Longer Human, one of the first things that comes up is a video review of PewDiePie saying that this book will change your life. This, like...
That's insane.
This guy from the... I think it was written in the early 19... Like early 20th century book about... he was born in 1909. So this book came out in 1948, and it's said to be his suicide note. And PewDiePie lists it as a book that will change your life in one of his earlier videos on YouTube.
Well, I hope you soon will be a radicalized streamer.
It's so funny when you know nothing about a YouTuber. Like, beyond, like, him saying the N-word and streaming video games. But then, like, you learn that, like, he has, like, a book club. Like, move over, Oprah.
What books are they reading?
Like, I guess, Jesus. Like, suicidal, nihilistic, like...
You're in it. You're already in the book club. You've started.
Yeah. Here we go.
I was on Instagram before, and, I an Adidas thing popped up. And, like, Ninja is doing a collab with them. Like, it's just like, oh, wow, this is what we do now. Cool.
I can't
wait for like a Funko Pop that gains sentience does like a shoe collab. That's kind of where I'm headed, you know.
What did you just send me a photo of?
Just look at it.
Look at the photo. Oh, it's Lin-Manuel Miranda on The Soprano. It's great.
Yeah, as a bellboy.
When he was a bellboy living back
when
in Queens.
When I was a bellboy in New Jersey. By my side.
My paisano.
The gangster man, he paid me to...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So yeah, all the distractions are out of the way. It's theme park time, specifically failed New South Wales-based theme parks.
A theme park exploration. That would be the name of the book, right? New South Fails?
Yeah, that's right. New South Fails. I love it. Can you believe that there's not a band called New South Males?
Yeah, I can actually.
Yeah, right, okay, sure.
I would love a stripper group. I'd love like a erotic dancer male group.
Like a manpower group. Yeah.
If they did Magic Mike here, I'd call it like New South Males.
Yeah, that's good actually. Fuck the band. So, of all those theme parks that I mentioned earlier, they've all closed down except Luna Park, which is like this iconic weird carnival that overlooks Sydney Harbour. And you mentioned
that's
you
were never
Angus,
going anywhere.
Well, the face, to enter it, you have to walk through this like incredibly well-made clown's mouth. It's a really great piece of Sydney architecture.
I kind of wish that half the mouth was closed because the big mouth was biting its lip, but unfortunately, it's a whole mouth that you can...
Okay, this week's extremely...
Can someone draw...
Yes, we need
can
it.
Can someone draw Lin-Manuel Miranda as Luna Park, and that will be... A shirt,
biting,
definitely.
Biting half of his lip down. Oh, my God.
Lina
Park.
And it's like, you just, half of it, you can't, it's really, like, terrible design. Like, it's just, why would you cover half of the entrance?
When I was a theme park back in 1935.
Could you imagine it? It'd be like
seven children burned. Seven children went on the ghost train and they all burned alive.
That's it.
That actually happened. Seven children died on the ghost train at Luna Park.
I love that.
And yet it's still
open. You need a good ghost train story.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe that's why all these other ones failed. But yeah, you mentioned, Angus, that you only ever went to Wonderland. And
that's
right.
It was a big deal. I went a few times with school for like, kids, I think as like an end of year treat, we could go.
I wonder if once or twice with
my father.
I wonder if the main reason you didn't visit SeaWorld or Fox Studios backlot is because you were half an hour away from another New South Wales based theme park, which is like Luna Park, still around. When we were in the 90s, it was called Jamboree Recreation Park. And
now they've dropped
song.
The recre and they've moved the C to
yeah, so
up and it's Action Park, right?
Jamboree Action Park. Because their theme song in the 90s was
Jamboree
Recreation Park where you control the action. And essentially it was like an outdoor grass tobogganing place that had like a water park.
Yeah, and they had some water slides. Like they had like dumb shit like boats you could pedal around in. Like, it was kind of
a tidal pool.
neither here nor there. It was very mixed messages of what it was. The big rock, as we've spoken about, they had a rock you could just jump off called the big rock.
Yeah, it's just and if you go on YouTube and look up Jamboree Big Rock, there's just a bunch of people like doing like, you know, like thrill ride YouTubers.
Yeah.
And it's just this like 20-second long film clip, you know, alongside all of like their 6-minute POV roller coaster rides. And it's just them jumping into water while wearing a GoPro. It's so lame.
That rules. I love that shit, man.
But there is an amazing ride
was
there.
A big rock.
There's an amazing ride there. Actually, the last time I went to Jamboree, my friend, my DJ mate Ryan, aka Moriarty, from my DJ crew from 2007 to 2014, Rochambeau, he had his Bucks weekend at Jamboree. And me,
fuck yeah, dog.
Me and 12 other overweight DJs got hideously sunburned while like hitting kids out of the line so we could go on the water slides.
That's so great.
There's a
what were you doing to the kids?
You know, just like pushing them out of the way so we could go get in front of them on the water slides, just being like drunk shit, sunburnt shitheads.
I have a similar story, sans sunburn and DJs. But yeah, I got kicked out of the park with my cousins who were older than me. On one side of the family, I'm older, the eldest cousin. And on the other side of the I've got no siblings, but I'm the youngest cousin on one side and the eldest on the other. Now on the Truscott side, like my paternal side, I'm the youngest. And they all live in Sydney and they came down with like my uncle and auntie and they were like, oh, let's go to Jamboree. And I don't know, we just thought we didn't really understand physics or velocity. So we're just jumping on the water slide at midpoint.
Yep.
And then people who would obviously like develop speed because of velocity would like slam into us. And, like we were just like joining people. Like we were like, we're not going on the line. And yeah, obviously they're timed. Like, you know, when they get people to come on.
Yep.
Had zero understanding of that. And yeah, got banned from the slide. And then I think asked to leave.
You could have killed
like,
someone.
I guess. I could have been a burnt boy on the ghost train, I guess. That's all kind of what we
When I
we all
was
aim
a
for.
Boy at Jamboree in 95. I got kicked out of our park for cheating the water slide.
Very good. We could write the next Hamilton.
I think we have.
Yeah. It's about Jamboree. Jamboree the musical. And
Jamboree Recreation Park, the mixtape.
It's like with Jimmy Fallon and the Roots present. but there is a really sick water slide called the Funnel Web, which is like a dark, like water ride where you have like a you go down on a raft. It's on a big raft. It's fun.
Where at Jamboree?
At Jamboree, yeah.
That mustn't have been there when I was there.
It was opened in 2012. One year before Ryan's Bucks weekend.
It'd be great if like I was kicked out last week. Like my story was, oh yeah, I got like kicked out last week as a man in his 30s, not as a 8-year-old or whatever I was.
You and your cousins were out coughing spores on teens at Jamboree Recreation Park.
Yeah, masks off. Call me Future because my mask is off. Man, I read a great... I love Young Thug. I was just thinking of Future and then I made the jump to Young Thug, you know, both iconic artists. There's a new, I forget which album it is, but there's a new album with a Thug feature and he's just eating on it when he did his line.
That's great.
And chewing. It's the other artist going, man, it was so good. We had to keep that take because like he went so hard on it. But at the start of the verse, he's just eating. It's like, that's so good. That's so rude. It's like Frank Sinatra's spinning in his grave. Rat Packs hate him.
So yeah, Wonderland Sydney is the only theme park that both of us went to. It was opened in 1985.
Hey, maybe we went on the same day. Isn't that a nice
possible?
Thought?
So you said you went like very early on in the 90s, 1991.
Yeah, I went in 1991 and then once in like year 10, so like 2000, I think, like for a school thing.
Yep.
It was like if you didn't get stabbed or get someone pregnant, you were like a good kid. So they're like, the good kids can go to Wonderland.
Yeah,
so I told you about where I grew up was kind of rough.
We
in
went
certain areas.
We went in 1996, we went with my school as an excursion. And they gave us a bunch of worksheets to fill out while we were at Wonderland. And it was like...
Lame!
Yeah, some of it was like... There was like maths problems that were like... That we had to solve after going on certain rides. And I remember one of them being like, get in line for the bush beast. Feel your heart. Does it feel faster than usual? Describe the adrenaline feeling in your body as you wait for the ride. And
that's the word. They would have done that so they could legally class it as a educational excursion, probably.
And Australia's Wonderland was home to a whitewater rapids ride called Snowy River Rampage. And me and my friends, we threw.
And you sat in like a round thing that you held into the middle, like a huge tire with a seat.
Yep, that's right.
All around the outside, and you held onto the middle, whereas like a ring on a pole, right?
Yeah, and
you just got like thrashed.
That's right. And then people could like spray you with water as they watched you as well. But yeah,
could you steer it? Kind of.
No, yeah, a little. It was kind of. It was you're it's a rapid ride, so you just kind of follow.
Wait, who could spray you with water?
There were like places in the park where you had hoses and you could just spray people as they went. A lot of rapid rides have this around the world.
It's so hectic.
You get proper wet on that ride dirty.
Oh, I remember just like being drenched and I was like, what a fucking idiot. Like,
well, yeah. So not only did our clothes get drenched at this excursion, but we also made sure that our worksheets got soaked and then we had to throw them out because they were too wet.
Yeah. What a shame.
Not that anyone asked to see those worksheets, but I just love that like at least one dumb kid in my year filled out every answer.
Yeah, what a fucking nerd.
Instead of going on rides.
What a fucking nerd.
Probably Archie.
Is that something Archie would do, you think?
Yeah, definitely. He'd be like, we can't go on until I've finished all the answers.
And then you and I are just either side of him drenching him with a hose. Just dousing him.
So the big rides at Wonderland Sydney, like they were like, it was kind of like a Disneyland where there's like different themed worlds. There was a Hanna-Barbera land where all the kiddie rides were. There was like a Judy Jetson themed, like, all the rides where you just kind of like slowly spin around. Like they were all in the Hanna-Barbera land.
There was like a tree that spoke as well, I remember.
Yep. And there was a Fred Flintstone splashdown, which was like a log flume ride. It was crazy. Like the Hanna-Barbera characters, like they definitely meant a lot to me when I was in primary school, and maybe a lot of that had to do with their presence at Wonderland, like them being the only like kind of like amusement park characters I'd ever seen.
Yeah. It was weird.
Big Yogi fan. Love Fred.
I remember seeing Captain Caveman walk around.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. He was kind of like the mascot of Wonderland for a while.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. But then there was also like a Dick Dastardly's flying ride where you were
in
like little old planes and you would kind of spin around. There was Captain Caveman's Clippers, which were like little flying boats that you could get in. And then there was like a Transylvania themed ride.
Flying boats.
Yep.
What do you mean flying boats?
Like it was like a boat that you got in and it would go up and down and spin around. No, it's like really, really lame kids' rides. Then there was like a bunch of like Australian, like there was a few like quite
bush beast.
Yeah, because it was like a gold mining like themed area.
That's right. You could get old timey photos and like dress up and shit.
Yeah, and like spoilers for PayFam. I'm also going to be putting in a little bit of info about a full on colonial theme park. In Sydney called Old Sydney Town, which was another school excursion.
Now, I didn't go. Did you go because it was like a school excursion?
Yeah, I went two school excursions to Old Sydney Town.
So we never went because it's just like out of our jurisdiction, you know?
It'll be like a 3-hour drive for you to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, we never did that shit. I missed out on those ones.
But yeah, within the kind of... the like Gold Rush kind of like Australian area, there was a another flume ride, like a big sled slide, like water ride called Ned Kelly's Getaway. Just like shitty Australian references, and of course,
that's so weird.
The Snowy River Rampage is a reference to the man from Snowy River, An Australian.
I still remember book. The Bush Beast and the Beastie.
Yep. So they were two wooden roller coasters, and the Bush Beast was the bigger one. The Beastie was like the kid size one, which was actually in Hanna-Barbera.
Wooden just seems dangerous, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, like they were fucking sick, but yeah, they threw you around heaps.
I remember. Yeah.
And the Bush Beast was actually the sister roller coaster to Canada's Wonderland's wooden roller coaster, which was called the Beast.
The Maple Beast. The Beast. Oh, okay.
The Maple Beast.
Well, I thought Bush Australia, they were trying to like localize
the Bush
it,
you know? Moose.
Yeah. The moose from Snowy River.
But yeah, so the big rides, there was the Beastie.
Is the Canada one on it round?
I'll have a look in a minute.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, right. Sweet. And Canada, you've done it again. So yeah, there was the Beastie, there was the Bush Beast, and then there was the Demon, which opened in 1992. And it was a roller coaster. It was the first roller coaster at Wonderland that went upside down.
Oh, the Demon. That's right. I remember that.
There was like a really steep incline, and then you went and did the loops, and then you went back up the incline and then did the roller coaster again backwards.
Sure. That's right.
And that was in like the Transylvania place. And that actually...
I remember the ads for that on television because they like played on the going backwards shit and like people had like fucked hair or something.
Yep. And so that was actually sold to it was dismantled after the closure of Wonderland. And it was sold to an Indian theme park called Wonderla, not Wonderland.
What, the ride was?
Yeah, yeah. If you want to ride the Demon, it's been relocated to Wonderla in India.
That rules.
Actually, first it was sold to Alabama Adventure, and it was called the Zoomerang, and then it went from Alabama to India. It's crazy, a lot of these rides, almost all the rides at SeaWorld were passed on somewhere else, like, because they were sold en masse at these big, like, you know, like, fire auctions where they just wanted to get rid of everything as quickly as possible, quick sales. But the final ride that was installed in Wonderland was called Space Probe 7, and it's like...
I remember that one. What did you say, is that the final ride?
Yeah, it opened in 1995.
That was like a drop.
Yeah, drop, and it was called Space Probe 7 because it was sponsored by Channel 7,
had something to do with
Australia,
it?
One of Australia's main TV stations. Basically, it was like, you know, like you're going into space, and then they would count down, and there would be like they wouldn't actually either done this to like create more tension, or it was a mistake every time. But it would never complete the countdown.
It would drop at a different time, right?
Yeah, it would go like 5, 4, 3, and then just drop you. Or it would do the...
Do you think it was a mistake?
I don't know. It was fucking terrifying. Because you had no idea when it would drop you. Like, sometimes it would complete the entire countdown. Then there would be 5 seconds of nothing. And then you would just be dropped.
Right. I remember the commercial for it.
And I'm pretty
sure...
There's
a making of... Oh my God. I have found something amazing. It is part one of two. Hosted by... Melissa George and Nick Testoni. It is the making of Space Probe 7.
Oh,
10 minutes.
Incredible.
So it
wow.
must be a 20-minute.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of these theme parks in Australia and theme parks around the world was that one of the highest rating shows in Australia at the time was a show called The Great Outdoors. It was a travel show. And those two hosts that you just mentioned were hosts of The Great Outdoors. And so was the great Ernie Dingo, an Australian
oh my God.
TV host.
Dude, it is the Gladiators. It's like some people in like fucking gladiator outfits, like Cheetah and Commando doing this documentary with them.
That's so
this
good.
This is the best.
Remnants.
Yeah.
Remnants.
Someone's
of the past.
I've got to send it to you.
Yeah, please. I can't believe I missed this in my research.
How's this? Someone wrote top comment. Thank you for posting this rare video. I was working there as this ride was built. I was one of the first people to ride the space probe. I also remember the launch night with the Gladiators. That's insane.
So Wonderland was really, really popular, and it kept adding new things. It kept getting new, like, you know, new attractions, and there were heaps of live shows, and there were reasons to come back again and again. It would do lots of great deals. I remember there was like a big 5 after 5 campaign where it cost $5 to go to Wonderland after 5 p.m.
That's right.
It was only $99 to get a Wonder Pass, which got you in like every day of the week throughout the year. And like locals loved it. People like, I loved Wonderland. We used to always talk about Wonderland.
Was it close to you?
It was maybe like half an hour. But
yeah, I mean that's close.
Yeah, and I remember like yeah, if you ever went to like the Blue Mountains or whatever, and you're on the M7, you could see Wonderland. You would go past, you'd be able to make out Space Probe 7, the Bush Beast, and the Demon as you were like driving, and you could see it in the distance. And I remember always getting so excited and trying to figure out what other things I could see from the car as I went to my much more boring destination with my parents. But the park was sold. Because they kept adding shit, it became quite hard to manage. And so they sold
Wonderland. What do you mean?
As in, like, there was just that much going on that, like, you know, this quite small operation suddenly became this enormous operation with so much staffing fees and, like, maintenance fees.
You know, it changed its name. It became Wonderland Sydney.
That's right. But it's forever Australia's Wonderland in my heart. It was sold to a Malaysia-based group called Sunway. And that Sunway's big thing was that they actually brought the Marvel characters to Wonderland. And
yeah, wow.
For a while, for like the last years of Wonderland's life, it closed in 2004. But it had Spider-Man and the Hulk were like on the Wonderland sign. And there was no Hanna-Barbera anymore, but there were Marvel characters walking through the park. But this is the time, this is 2004. So these characters, like beyond the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie, which is...
Eric Banner Hulk.
Is that 2001? Yeah, Eric Banner Hulk.
First one's 2002.
Right. So yeah, I mean, but in the lead up, this is like from like 1997 onwards. Like in the late 90s, like, were those characters even that popular in Australia? It's strange.
For sure. Spider-Man cartoon was huge.
But so Sunway don't add any new rides and they just... They start closing rides, and closing entire areas, and slowly like the park just starts like kind of deteriorating, and then
dude, how fucked's the original logo? I'm looking at it now. It's like literally the whatever dumb ship Captain Cook came in on, and like the Southern Cross.
Yeah,
remember that logo?
One of the first fleet. It's like yeah, it's a blue map of Australia with the Southern Cross, and then the Federation star? Is that one that the extra star
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I don't know. It's insane. It just looks then, yeah, like
Captain Cook's
propaganda
boat in the middle of it. Yeah. I know I shouldn't, but I kind of love it just because it is such a fucked thing from the past that wouldn't exist now.
I just love that like there were no problems with it either.
Yeah, totally.
Twitter wasn't around, so no one had a problem with it.
So yeah, the CEO of Sunway in 2004 blames a combination of the September 11 attacks, the 2002
Bali bombings. Oh my god, I'm reading
Bali
this sentence
bombings,
right now.
Yeah, the collapse I'm reading, of it's HIH amazing. Insurance, the SARS virus, the bird flu virus, the Asian financial crisis, the collapse of Ansett Australia, an airline, the Iraq War, and the 2003 bushfires. He says that those things combined are the why we're closing the park. And
that's amazing because it's like, that's insane. That's insane. Like imagine blaming the 9/11 attacks and Bali bomb. Like, yeah, I can imagine like the Taliban going, oh, you know, we've got to go to Eastern Creek, this like place where like, you know, it's not Sydney. It's outside of Sydney. And yeah, we're going to attack like the fucking Judy Jetson ride. Like that's our next target.
First we set fire to Old Sydney Town. Then we take down Wonderland.
That's insane.
We're going to carpet bomb the Bush Beast.
Wow, they sold the Wonderland sign for $1,000. That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, and so this ties into the next theme park we're going to talk about. That Wonderland sign, the entrance sign, can be found at the same junkyard in New South Wales that you can find the only remnants of Seagoworld statues of Sonic. One of our friends who's been on the podcast twice, Lucy O'Brien from IGN, wrote this fantastic article a few years ago about a diehard Sega fan trying to buy the Sonic statues from the owner of the dump, of the junkyard, who refuses to let them go.
You should, yeah. Okay, the article is called Sonic Sally and the Quest to Save the Last Remaining Pieces of Seagoworld. It's on IGN.
It's a great article. It's really, really good.
Yeah, that's amazing. There was Sonic statue news today. There's like a Sonic statue in Japan and someone like repaired it recently, but like no one has... It's not official. It's like Sonic snowboarding. No one knows why it's there.
That's
it's like a
so
mystery.
Great.
Like Sega haven't said that it's theirs. It's kind of like just exists.
Sega has the most phenomenal history. Like so much insane highs and lows, and I love that they still exist.
Dude, Michael Jackson made games with them.
I have so many.
And then
great
did the
Michael
score
Jackson.
For Sonic 3.
So Michael Jackson was a part of Sega World.
I remember. I remember that. I knew that as part of the marketing.
So we're going to continue this nostalgic look at. Look, I think the Sega World portion of this show is going to be at least 45 minutes long because there's so much insane shit
to
cover.
I wish in Sonic 2 they go to Sydney and this Sega World is built for the movie and we get it back.
Well, you know what? Mission Impossible 2, set in Sydney in 2000. I wish Tom Cruise crashes through Sega World at one point in that movie. That would be sick.
It's still visible in things because the building remained for years afterwards.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that because it was used for some hilarious shit. And then it was just so unceremoniously destroyed.
It is so, if you don't know what building is, Google Sydney World, Sega World Sydney. You got to see this building. It's phenomenal.
It's this bright red rectangle with this big, even brighter,
conical,
baby blue, electric blue cone coming out the top of
all
it.
All glass. It's beautiful.
Insane. Like one of the most incredible pieces of late 90s architecture. And it was only found in Sydney for so many years. So if you want to hear us talk about Sega World, the Fox Studios backlot, Old Sydney Town, Luna Park, and more, head on over to patreon.com/heyfam. Every week we record two episodes of Hey Fam. One of them is in the feed that you're listening to now, and the other is in what we like to call PayFam, the deluxe experience, at least another hour of good shit.
This is
the
beastie. It is the bush beast.
It, absolutely,
using,
that's true.
Wonderland terminology, and I know I am.
And like, I'll give you a little bit of sizzle for people that we're going to meet at Sega World in Sydney. Michael Jackson, Ernie Dingo, and the band Hanson. Just a few names. Head on over to patreon.com/heyfam. Of course, that also gets you access to our fantastic Discord community, which as of last week, while in the midst of this insane research, I added a theme parks channel, which has provided me with a lot of entertainment and great old theme park tunes. And especially if you live in a place where, like, you know, you either grew up with or still are surrounded by a, like, you know, dog shit little carnival that calls itself an amusement park. I want to do like a real deep dive on those after this as well, like in the future.
Next week.
No, somewhere in the future. We'll pace it out. I need at least three months of research, but I'm always keen to hear from you. But yeah, patreon.com/heyfam. Come support us, and in return, you get double the episodes. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week, unless you are a real one, and in which case we'll see you in just a moment. Enjoy your morning.
Goodbye. Hey! Bam, 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 bam. That was tight.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.